Let's read together over in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, and though the more abundant I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. I did not make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you. I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall be well many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. This also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, Paul is here telling the brethren that they should have believed on him, that God done mighty things by him, and he had preached to them, and yet it seemed that they did not want to esteem him. And he said that, I want you to straighten up, do right, said, because when I come, I'm afraid I'm not going to find you like I want to find you, that is to see you living an overcoming life. And he said, I'm afraid that when I come, you're not going to find me like you want to see me, that is tender and loving and kind. He said, lest I come with a whip for chastisement, that is, or to correct you, or lest I come in the spirit of meekness. He said, I trust that God will humble me before you that I might bewail many of you. But he said, you've committed fornication, you've done all kind of things, and you've not repented, you've not turned around, you've not asked God to forgive you for these things. And he said, when I come, I'm not going to be found the way you want to find me unless something is done about the church condition. And, you know, I love to read about Paul because most people reading about Paul, they never notice, perhaps the way I do or some others, that Paul was so much down to earth and, as we say, and just a simple person, and that the things that befell Paul were so much like the things that befall me and people that are in the ministry. You never notice it because you just read quickly over it. But when you read it slowly, it is so profound as to see. It is so much the problem of the ministry in general today. But anyway, Paul was trying to tell him how mighty God worked in him, and yet he didn't want to lift up himself, and he didn't want to be found in their eyes as a boaster. And Paul knew that when people spoke of themselves, that people would frown on that and they would find fault with that. And he didn't know how to tell them because they were so blind. They were not seeing the greatness of this man or the mighty Paul who had been sent to be the overseer of the entire Gentile church. They were so blind that they didn't see that at all. And Paul even referred back to the Lord Jesus himself and the apostles and said, these great and mighty apostles, as you would say today, that's the foundation of the great city, New Jerusalem, said, I wasn't a whit behind the very chiefest of them. And said, I labored more abundantly than all of those apostles. See, and still they didn't see, and still they didn't esteem. And he said, one thing I did, I didn't try to take what you had. I didn't try to make a gain of you or the brethren I sent to you. I didn't send them to try to take what you had. He said, I paid my own way. I worked with my own hands. And he said, I tried to be an example before you. And he said, have I wronged you in this? Have I wronged you? Said, if there's a wrong, this is the only wrong that I've done unto you. He said, forgive me this wrong. You know, he said, I robbed other churches that I might preach unto you. And so then, he tells them here how great he really is. So he said, give me a chance to speak as a fool now. He said, you'll call me a fool. And this is as the mouth of a fool to boast of himself, but this is the only way I've got to get it over to you, he could have said. So he said, I want to tell you just what I am. He made it real plain when he says in the 11th chapter of the 2nd Corinthians, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preached another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Paul asks the question here, have I committed an offense in abasing myself? For that is trying to be humble and not trying to be somebody flashy before you to go through all these ritualistics that evangelists go through. He said, did I do something wrong there to where that you don't esteem me? So he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. You know, a lot of times I go to other churches throughout the nation or the different parts of the world, and you supply my need. When I don't take anything from them, you supply my need here. But did you know, in all of my goings, as a rule, I never call on you to do anything, even back here. What you do on your own, and you send on your own. Because we go by faith, and God abundantly meets our needs. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That is, he said, all these people is running in to hold your revivals and doing all these things. He said, don't go whoring after them. He said, they're false apostles, false workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And that is true with many of them that comes through. And it was true with Paul and many of them that came through. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. That is to say, they come and lift themselves up to you. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. That's a real strong rebuke, ain't it? For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prison, more frequent in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in peril by the heathens, in peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king kept the city of Damascene with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window and a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And then he goes on to boast that he knew a man 14 years before that was caught up into the third heaven. He couldn't tell whether in the body or out of the body. Then he goes on to boast more, said, I had so much revelation. He said, there was given unto me a messenger of the devil to buffet me. And so I sought the Lord three times and asked him to move it, and he wouldn't do it. He said, my grace is sufficient. And he went on to say all of these things as to God saying, my grace is sufficient, Paul. So then we see that God is a mighty God, and we see that our overseer of the Gentile church is a mighty overseer, and that he went through all of these things, and in all of these things, God stood by him and never did forsake him one time, and he came out even moving ahead of perhaps the chiefest apostle to be the overseer of a Gentile church. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't think that it's meet for you to say that Paul would be ahead of the chiefest apostle. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he says here, not a whit behind the chiefest apostle. But I do think that we could boast of our apostle Paul as the Gentile overseer, inasmuch as the Bible said, in a good thing, I praise you. And inasmuch as he was the apostle to the Gentile church for the bride. If the other apostles was to the church for the Jewish people, and yet Paul was to the bride, I think we ought to boast a little bit of him. So then, as Paul said, as it would be our day, I'm not present with you in body. But he said, I'm present with you in spirit. And surely enough, in this day that we're living in, the revelation of Jesus Christ is here in our midst beyond a shadow of a doubt. And of course, there's people would say, I don't believe that. And I can accept that because you're an unbeliever. There's people would say, I don't believe that because I have not seen that, and I could accept that because you're blind. And there's some said, well, I'm just not going to follow that because that's not the way it is. I can accept that because the Bible said that the God of this world, even Satan, hath blinded your eyes that you cannot see when good cometh. So then the Lord is with us, and still, in spite of all those things, today we still have the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he hath given to you and I his wonderful blessings, his wonderful love, and he hath brought us into the wonderful mysteries of Christ. And as Jesus said on numerous occasions when he was walking among the people, he said things such as this. He said, and many great men have desired to see the things that you see, and to hear the things that you hear, and have not been able to see them nor to hear these things. And he said, you have entered into the labor of others, and because of what others have done, you are able to enjoy the wonderful riches of God and the wonderful treasures of God in the day that you're living in. So I say again, here we are on this side of Calvary, while those that sleep as under the law are on that side of Calvary, and while those that have never been born again is still on that side of Calvary, though Calvary is far past us to the years, yet these are still on that side of Calvary, and they've never gotten on this side of Calvary. They just kind of went around this way, tried to enter in another way, and tried to climb up another way through their religious activities. But we're on this side of Calvary, and we are, as it would be, the waters that was above the firmament, those peaceful waters, and the others is, as it would be, those waters that are beneath the firmament, which are troubled waters. And David said, the Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup it runneth over. He said, truly, mercy, this will follow me. Goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's give the Lord another hand. You believe all of that? For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. So here Paul is testifying to his people. He said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Said, I tell you all these things because I don't want you getting your mind on some other minister. I don't want you getting your mind on some other message. You know, we have a tendency as people, I do and you do, that when other people come along with another Jesus, as Paul said, or another spirit or another whatever it might be, we have a tendency in our weakness to watch the demonstration and all the exhilaration as to the ways that he's activated, you know, and the approach that he has and to what he is and his appearance and all the things that he does, and we're just overwhelmed and we're carried away because of his exuberance in the flesh, you know. And Paul was jealous. He said, I don't want that. I don't want that. He said, I've espoused you to one, even to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I seek to present you to him as a chaste virgin. I want you without spot, without blemish. I want this, even the perfecting of your faith. I want to perfect the people, Paul said. I want to be able to stand before God in that day with the people that out of all of the teeming millions, he could have said, I want to stand there with my people, which will be perfect in God. You know, I've thought about this in my lifetime. Everybody in their lifetime, they're out to do their thing. You know, they have a little saying in the world, to do your thing. We wrote a song about it one time. So in the world, they're out to do their thing, and everybody has to do their thing, and everybody does their thing. During their lifetime, they do their thing. One, he wants to be a robber. He wants to be a killer. He wants to you know, whatever, and he goes through his transitional changes of life, whether it's to prison or in the electric chair or whatever he might do, you know, that's his thing in life. Another one wants to be a president. Somebody wants to be a sinner. Somebody wants to be an Elvis Presley. Somebody wants to be some fabulous movie star. Some wants to be a millionaire. Some wants to be a whore. Some wants to be a whoremonger. Some wants to be a pretty boy. Some wants to be a pretty girl. Some wants to have muscles, you know, and some wants to have forms and physiques and all these kind of things. Whatever it might be, through life, everybody does their things. Even preachers, they do their things. You know, preachers' wives, they do their thing. Whatever it is in life, preachers' children and family, they do their thing. See, congregations, they do their thing through life, whatever it might be. Some just wants to lounge around and do nothing. Some wants to work. Some wants to pay the bills. Some wants to have a good name. Some wants to have praises of men. Some wants to have praises of God. See, but everybody does their thing in life. You know, a preacher, he will do his thing, whether it's to get on television or whether it's to have a tent, whether it's to have all the things of life or whether it's to go here or go there or circle around the world or try to, whatever it is, you know, in life, he does his thing through life. And I've asked myself, I said, now, Brother Pike, seeing all of this and knowing all of this and looking toward all of this, having been experienced with this during your lifetime, what is your thing in life? And I thought, Lord, and it just rolled out of me without me saying anything. All of a sudden, something come out of me said, and to do thy will, O God, that's my thing. God, let's give the Lord a hand. I come as it is written of me in the book, to do thy will, O God. This is written of me in the volume of the book, that I am come to do thy will. So then Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And so then Paul, our great apostle, boasted in the Lord by saying, and it's not me living, but it is thy will be done. Or that it is Jesus, the one that said, thy will be done. You know, we've got to remember, as Paul, being jealous over his congregation, so am I and every minister, as to them that really love their people. Otherwise, they don't care where they go, who they hear, as long as they bring the finance in and the church keeps growing. You know, but I am, as Paul, jealous over that which is mine. And I'm jealous with a godly jealousy. I want to present you to Christ as chaste virgin, because I have presented you to God as a chaste virgin, or espouse you even to one, so that ye should not whore around after the other things of the world. The great whore hath her place, and that is in the ditch. And every one that is abhorred of the Lord, the Bible says, shall fall therein. But It is the mind of Christ that we're trying to get over to you. And Paul was trying to get the mind of Christ over to those people. And I'm trying to get this over to you that I might bring forth a people without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and bring to you the revelation of the Son of God and bring to you the great things of God to where you can rest in the things of God and not be blown about by every doctrine of a mankind or every wind of doctrine. So then, I preach to you the truth, so that you will understand, my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I tell you the truth and lie not. And I spend my time in prayer to where I can understand God and spend my time with the Lord, so I'm listening to Him, so I will hear what He says. And the Bible speaks of the man that is a watchman that stands upon his watch, to see what the Lord will say unto him when he has approved of the Lord, to find out what he will say unto the Lord. And so then we find that we are watchmen on the wall. And we find that we are children of God, sons and daughters of God, which means if we are sons and daughters of God, we are the Word made flesh, and the Word is His will, and we are His will made flesh. And whatever measure you will allow yourself in the Lord Jesus as that to be in Christ, so are you the will of God in the earth. So are you the body of the Lord Jesus in the earth, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. See, ye are the body of the Lord Jesus. Ye are the will of God. Ye've come to do His will. You are in the earth to pray, Father, our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That is to say, I'm of the dust. If it comes unto me, let it be done in this part of the earth here. Our Lord, let it emanate from me into the earth to the listening ears, that it might be done in the earth even as your will is done in heaven. Because God's will is done in heaven through the angelic host, through the honor and obedience and great respect, admiration and love of the heavenly host, then His will is done in heaven. And His will was done in the earth, even in the days of Adam and Eve, until the fall, until the expulsion. And then when they fell into sin, since that time His will has not been done. And then when Jesus came, as to say, Heavenly Father, all of this back here is a conglomeration of confusion. It's a complex situation, and there's nothing that I can do about it. So then I suggest that you lay the axe to the root of the tree, as it was with John. Cut that generation of vipers down, or cut that old tree, as the family tree of the viper, down. And here, Lord, start a new generation with me, as it was You said You would start with Moses. And here the prophet like unto Moses, start a new generation with me, because, Father, all of this is void, and I come now to do Thy will, O God. For offerings and sacrifices Thou wouldest not, but a body Thou hast prepared me. And now, lo, as it is written of me, I come in the volume of the book to do Thy will. Or that is to say, Father, I am the volume of the book made manifest. Or in that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word came forth as the great Spirit Word came forth. It was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as a human body called the Son of God. And He tabernacled into fullness in that body, and today works all things after the counsel of His own will through that body, and nobody can come to God except through the blood of that body, and God can get to no one except through the word of those lips. So then today, if you're the lips of Christ in the earth, if you're the arms of Christ in the earth, if you're the eyes of Christ, if you're the ears of Christ, if you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, if this is what you are, then ye are the will of God made manifest in the earth. And we're praying, Father, Thy kingdom has come, and now Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the kingdom of God, the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God has come, and now the kingdom of God is here, and men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And we're praying, Father, now let Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And we all come together as it was on the day of Pentecost, when the first church was set up, as to be one mind and one accord, one endeavor, and that is to do the will of God in the earth. to praise Him, to love Him, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, to go on to that wonderful full reward. So then we find this great, wonderful Jesus, this great, wonderful Christ. Somebody said, praise Paul. I'm praising God. Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. And the Bible said, you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. And so then I praise Paul in this great thing. The great, wonderful writer, the overseer of the Gentile church, saying that there was a revelation that would bring a bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ. For I have been beaten. He said, I have been beaten at least 5 times. He said, I have been stoned at least once. I have been shipwrecked at least thrice. He said, I've been hungry. I've been in peril of my countrymen. I've been in all of these things. He said, Paul is dead. That killed Paul. Paul couldn't survive it. He said, but through the divine grace of God, now there's a great and mighty conqueror living, and this is Christ. I come to you as Christ. And he said, it is now Christ that is made manifest, and it is not me living, but it is Christ. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, and said, it is not you that speaketh, but it is the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. And it said, in the event that they deliver you up before the magistrates or the great people of this day, don't premeditate. Don't try to write down something to say or program your mind with something to say. He said, for in the selfsame hour it shall be given you as what to say. He said, as a testimony against them, for it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father that is speaking from within you. So then we all speak as the oracles of God, and we give glory to God for all of these wonderful things because of what God has done for you and I. And I appreciate your patience. See, here we are. Who are we? We are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bone of His bone, and we are flesh of His flesh, and we are walking in the Spirit and in the anointing of God, and we are in the presence of God. That makes me feel so good. You know, a lot of times the devil, he tries to trample the mind of humanity down. He's working all the time to try to trample the mind of humanity down. That's his doings all the time. But at the same time, God is ministering to us with thoughts of inspiration. Angelic beings come around and they whisper thoughts to us, of inspiring thoughts to lift us up and to give us a new strength. When Jesus had ended his fast, the angels came to him and ministered to him and gave him strength. See, and a lot of times an angelic being is about you, to deliver you, because we're children of God. The Bible said, and it is written, He will give His angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. So then the children of God have angelic beings round about them. And the Bible said, the angels encamp round about them that fear God. And the Bible said, in the Spirit of Christ, He, the Holy Ghost, is in the midst of you if you come together in the name of the Lord Jesus. For He will come in the name of the Lord, and He will testify and witness to you about the Lord Jesus. Because when He comes into my heart, into your heart, then all of the things that He says and does, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your spirit, if it was in me, would witness about you. And if a lion's spirit was in me, it would roar and witness about the lion. But if the God Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, if He's on the inside of you, then He will witness of Himself as to you. So then it's wonderful to be a Christian. And I get to thinking sometimes, I think, well, Lord, I'm less than nothing. Paul said, I'm less than the least. And I thought, well, that was something in your day. You was less than the least. Now I've come along and I'm less than you are. So I'm less than nothing. So then I find myself, you know, as less than nothing. And sometimes the devil, he likes to beat on you. He loves to war against your mind, and he loves to beat on you. He just loves to cause you problems. He loves to tell you how much that you ain't. And he'll put you down in your mind, and he'll tell you that you're just a nobody and that you're a nothing, and that, you know, and that you are greedy and haughty and selfish and adulterous, and that you are a liar and you are a cheat and you are a robber and you don't care and you're playing games. And he'll just go on and on and on. He'll never stop talking with you to put you down. See, because that's what he wants to do. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. But it also says in Revelation 12 that when Lucifer went out, that the man-child was caught up to another heaven, which apparently was the third heaven, which our Apostle Paul went into as being Christ, or that is Christ went into it, because there's one heaven that cannot be destroyed, and that's the third heaven. The others are defiled because Lucifer has gotten into them. So John saw Lucifer as the red dragon in heaven, which apparently was the second heaven, and there was war in that heaven because the people of the world are in that heaven because of grace. And the church is in that heaven, never having been changed in the body. And the church is in travail, about to bring forth a child. And we see Israel as the church in the wilderness over there. And we see these things, see, with them as she's in her travail in the tribulation period in the middle of Daniel's last week. All right, so then we see that the devil is being cast out in the earth, but he is there in heaven. So then he makes war with us, and he's always the accuser of the brethren. But the Bible said it's concerning even that heaven, as to the redemption of the body, which is the second heaven, coming from the spirit on down to the body. Then we find the Bible says that Satan is cast out. He's cast out of the heavens. And he can accuse the brethren no longer. And the Bible said now has come power and now has come strength for the accuser of our brethren that accused him night and day is cast out. See, so there's going to be a time when those thoughts are going to stop. And when that old mind of Satan can't get to you anymore, because you're going to be changed into a celestial body, and you're going to leave the natural body behind that's made out of the dust. From the dust thou art, as to the first man Adam, of which you're born, and to the dust thou shalt return. But in the sight of God, that man is already dead anyway. God doesn't see his sins, and we're delivered from the body of that death in the mind of God, that we may have the full blessings of God if we can believe in the works of Jesus Christ. But when we fail to believe altogether in the works of the Lord, or walk circumspectively to where we can take the shield of faith, then we feel the repercussion from this old body of death. And Satan probes in our minds and causes us to wander around like we're in a wilderness. But you know, I like to think like this, taking the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? Believing in the Word of God. What is that shield of faith? Believing in the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And I like to think like this, when the devil comes tromping around on my grounds and he's trying to put me down and find fault with me, you know, it's all right if I go before God and I humble myself, knowing that I'm nothing, to find his favor and to humble this old flesh so that I can say I do nothing of myself, to get the devil out of the way, knowing that he works through the flesh, to make sure he's dead. The flesh profiteth nothing, to not lift it up, but to put forth the spirit. See, that's all right if I do that, because I'm giving place to the Holy Spirit to come in, and I'm getting the middle wall of petition out of the way, and that Jesus destroyed it for me at Calvary. It's no more in my way as long as I put it down. See, and I don't think anything of it. But when the devil comes and he starts putting me down to bring me under condemnation to where I cannot believe in God and I cannot receive the good things of God, then I just look away to glory and I say, Satan, get thee hence. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For you're talking to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he said, be holy, for I'm holy. And if I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then I'm holy because he's holy. Let's give the Lord a hand. I say you might as well get on your way, because I am in his sight without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And in him I keep myself, and the evil one touch me not, and he hath perfected me forever. Hallelujah. So we praise the Lord. We go on. Our faith goes out to God. The accuser gets on the run. We draw nigh to God, the word by faith, and the devil flees from us as we resist him with that shield of faith to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. So then it's wonderful to be a Christian and to know that you are a Christian and to have faith in the word of God, that you might be the children of God, and that by faith in Jesus Christ as to his work. Not trusting in your works, nor in your merits, though you do all the works that you know how to do, though you have all the faith that you know how to have, but you're trusting in His faith, which sanctifies you. You're trusting in His works, in which you're complete. And you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that He is your perfection, and God sees you as that body of perfection. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. See, this is what you are in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil give you a hard time. Just go right on. You know, I don't want to holler at you, start preaching to you, just exhorting you a little. But don't let him give you a hard time, because you belong to God and you're clean and holy. The Bible said, give of that which you have. You spend your time in prayer, talking with him, doing the best you can, believing in the Lord. Don't deny the Lord. Don't cast away your faith that hath great recompense and reward. Don't condemn yourself over that thing which you allow in that you stumble, when before the living God you was doing your very best. So you don't do that, because you are His. And he hath given you all things that pertain unto life, and he wants you to have all these things. And as long as you're under condemnation, you can't get those things, because you're listening to the accuser. So then he hath been cast out at Calvary, and God hath destroyed him that hath power over death. And it will be brought to pass, as to be made manifest in this world and in the flesh, in Revelation 12, just as soon as the days of the Gentiles are over and the days of the Jews come in. So for you and I, it's all over. We're not in the flesh, which means that God has destroyed that world to you, and you're dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus, and you're dead to the flesh, and you're dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus, and alive forever unto God. And you pass from that body of death unto life in the Spirit. You're now a quickening spirit. So then the devil can't touch you. See, so he's destroyed. He is cast out. He is in the earth. He is in the world. And you're not down there. So stay away from that old body of trying to pretty up its face and pretty up its form and trying to have prestige and trying to look good for somebody or do something. Get away from that thing and get in God and love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind. And remember, the body is the Lord's, as to that new body, born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And glorify the Lord with your body, and be holy in body, soul, and spirit. Paul said, I'd like to present you unto God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. Let's be holy also in body. See, and all of our labor, let's labor that we might have to give. And all that we do, let's do the things according to godliness, and everything will be fine. A lot of things we could say tonight, but we won't say those things to interrupt your thoughts right now. Maybe we'll bring them out a little later to you. But remember this, that you are now, beloved, the sons of God. Now, beloved. It does not appear as to looking at one another. You know, don't know each other after the flesh. All that's dead. See, don't lust after one another. See, for all that's dead. For to know a person after the Spirit and the greatness of the Spirit. Why did Paul do the things that he did? It was because he wanted them to know that though he did not lift up the flesh, and though he did not try to excel in the flesh, and though he tried to abase the flesh and bring the flesh down to humility, it wasn't because he wasn't great as an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, blameless concerning the law, a mighty man indeed, a great mighty man. It wasn't that, but he was trying to put the flesh out of the way. As Jesus said, it's not me, but it's the Heavenly Father. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Then you'll find rest to your soul. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then he'll exalt you in due season. And I spoke to you the other night of great faith as forerun by humility. So then Paul was trying to tell them, you know, when he started to boasting, he was trying to tell them, if you want to really know what I am as a man, well, I'll just tell you. And he was 10 times the man of any of them others that had come to them. See, if they wanted to admire in that. But he wanted them to be in the Spirit, and he wanted them to admire the Spirit and admire the measure of Christ in a man, and not know anybody after the flesh, and to listen to that individual as to whatever God had made him in the Spirit or in the understanding or the knowledge of God. And he said, I write this that you might understand my knowledge in Christ. All right, so then we see that this is a wonderful thing, and we're heading down the right trail, and we're understanding the right things if we continue going in the right direction and walking with the Lord and not casting away our faith. Let's stand together. Many things we could say unto you and go on, and we'd get richer and richer, but we're grateful for the opportunity just to exalt you. Things are happening all around the world, because the end of the world is here. Now, we've had earthquakes in time past. The Bible spoke of the earthquakes as being one of the things that would come in the last days. And in the last days, there shall be earthquakes. Now, in this, we've seen earthquakes, but we've never seen earthquakes like we've seen earthquakes now. 8 earthquakes. Think now, 8 earthquakes just in the last month or so. And one of the most devastating earthquakes we've ever heard of in the history of mankind. Now, when this starts happening, where there's an earthquake over here, and an earthquake over here, and an earthquake over here, and an earthquake over here, it means that that great, mighty earthquake that the Bible speaks of, that great, mighty earthquake is about to take place where John said, I saw the islands moved out of their places and the cities of the nations fall. We know that. I wrote the Ayatollah a letter. How many remember that? I wrote the Ayatollah a letter. Remember that, Brother Taylor? And I told him because of the wretched things that he was doing, having the Muslim religion like he was, I said, God, if you don't repent, turn around, change this thing, God is going to plow your fields. And from that time on, he's had nothing but problems. And the people there that are paganistics have had nothing but problems. It's been one problem right after another. And now this devastating blow that has hit Iran, that the tolls as to the wounded and dead has gone, the last report, to 32,000. And they don't know really how many it would be, because I think there was about 189,000 or 180,000 in that place. See, but God is plowing his fields and his evil pride is going down. They raised up and boasted themselves as to what we'll do to Israel. We'll cut Israel down and we'll do thus and thus, because they have control of Israel's oil supply to the best of my knowledge. And we'll do whatever. But the Bible said, when you touch Israel, you touch the apple of my eye. And when they done that, God put them down to nothing. And though the Ayatollah doesn't really know what to say, he's saying, let's take this with pride and patience. You know, trying to give them some false morale, not knowing what to do. But folks, let me tell you, the hand of God went out against Iran because of their evil and their boasting and the things that they have done. And those that have boasted themselves around Israel, against Israel, judgment is still to come for some of them. See, so the Lord did what we said he would do. We wrote the man a letter and told him, sent him a registered letter. See, and God has honored our words continually from that time on. And now this great earthquake has taken place. Earthquakes everywhere. They're taking place everywhere. Why? Because the earth is broken all to pieces. Even the maps that Brother James Isaac gave me a number of years ago, I thoroughly examined them. And underneath the ocean, all of the different bodies of ocean, water, or seas, the earth is cracked like an egg. It's cracked all to pieces. And at any time could fall apart. And all over the world, it's cracked. The earth is cracked open. He said, why is this, Brother Pike? Because the Bible says that hail from beneath has moved for to meet thee at thy coming and enlarged itself without measure. And scientists have learned that in the heart of the earth there's a huge ball of fire, and it's melting down the mantle of the earth and enlarging itself bigger and bigger, till the crust of the earth is beginning to be so thin that the least vibration as to the bursting of those bonds in the ocean or all these other things is just cracking it up with all the bad weather and the different things that's happening. See, and the Bible speaks of a time in Revelation 8 when the stars shall fall from heaven. And when the earth is at the right place, it's being cracked up, then these bonds are going to start bursting and everything's going to break open. And the Bible said the bottomless pit shall be open. That is, the earth shall open as in the days of Moses. When Moses said, if I be a man of God, let the earth open up and let these go down quick to the pit. And the bottomless pit is going to be open as it was in the days of Moses. And out of there is going to come the locust the Bible speaks of upon this earth and all these things. So then it means it's getting closer to the tribulation period. And we've been trying to be the right kind of minister and the right kind of pastor to inform you of this. And not to get up here to put on a demonstration or to try to make a show by running people through like a herd of cattle and praying for them all the time and just getting something to draw people. But we've been trying our best to pray for you if you really have a need and to help you and sometimes have healing meetings, especially if we go out to the preach to the people out there. We have them regular because that's all they know. You know, they're looking for that as a sign. So I know a lot of people say, well, you know, we spoke of this yesterday to some of the brethren. They say, you know, vindication, vindication, vindication. And I was just talking about how childish that was last night. I was telling the brethren, I say, that's childish for you to take that kind of outlook. The Bible said a sinful and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And it's childish for you to base your experience on that. Because even though we have healings all the time, they was naming them last night. They named enough of them last night. Different brethren just up and named enough of them of outstanding things. Numbers of them that we could have wrote a book about. People right in the light so blind they don't see those things. But see, the Bible said, and these signs shall follow them. These signs shall follow them. As a matter of fact, last night it comes to my mind again today as it did last night that we had a woman in our service last night from a man's service, Brother Branham following, whereas this man's wife was healed of cancer of the breast under our tent when we was over at Forsyth. They testified of it themselves. And that woman was here last night as to one that goes there. But I'm just saying this, when you talk about all this thing, you know, you're being childish. Because as I said, in the Old Testament, look back there, and there were great and mighty men that done great and mighty miracles, and they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Those men didn't even have the Holy Ghost. How are you going to take all of that as your confirmation and whatever you're looking for as vindication? When Elijah did miracles and raised the dead, and Elisha did a double potion, and great men of old done all kind of miracles, and even Abraham, the father of the faithful, didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, how can you say that? I can say that because it's true. Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Somebody said, you mean to tell me you don't believe those men were filled with the Holy Ghost? I didn't say that. Now, the Bible said that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And it said that the mother there was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the dad was filled with the Holy Ghost when he prophesied. But they didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was not yet given. So then those men done miracles. That didn't prove anything. Saul went up to Ramoth Gilead to kill David, had murder in his heart, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he had a gift. That is to say, when the Spirit came upon him, he prophesied so much they thought that he was a prophet. And Balaam, as to seeing visions, being a vindication as to a God-man, the Bible said whoever Balaam blessed was blessed, whoever he cursed was cursed, and even the king sent for him to get him to curse the people as to their enemies. And the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness and was a soothsayer. And yet he could see God in a vision with his eyes open, and God had him killed after rebuking him by the dumb ass. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then you need to look for Christ, and you need to look for the love of God, and you need to look for the understanding of God. And the Bible said to seek it more than silver. Call it thy kinsman. Seek it, you know, as though it was a great and a mighty treasure, for it is above all treasures. Wisdom calleth to thee. Let the simple turn in and learn of wisdom. And when it comes to fasting, when it comes to praying, when it comes to studying, when it comes to you have an experience where you speak in tongues or where you prophesy or where you wear your hair long or your dress is long or whatever you might do in your experiences to come to church or giving offerings or whatever or pray all night, whatever it might be, don't place your faith on that. There's nothing to that. There's nothing to that. Somebody said, well, this is what makes me good in the sight of God. This is what makes me righteous in the sight of God. This is what... No, that's not right at all. See, I tell you again, it has nothing to do with that. God saved you while you were yet in your sins, having fasted, prayed, and done nothing. He gave His Son for you, so loved you that He gave His Son to die for you while you were yet in your sins, and you never sought Him one time. He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. You didn't seek me. He said, I sought you, and I come to find that which was lost. And then when you come to God and you start fasting and praying, you're not fasting and praying to make yourself righteous. I told you the man up in the temple that went up to the temple, he said, I fast. I fast twice a week. That's better than anybody does in a year. And he said, I give tithe of all that I have. That's better than anybody does in a year. And it's a lot of folks cut corners with a lot of things. Somebody said, well, I give tithe of all I have. No, you don't. Sometimes you get a pair of pants. You don't cut off the legs and you don't share the other pair of pants. A lot of times you get whatever. You know, whether it's from your children or whatever. Even though, as to a preacher or whatever, the IRS says we're supposed to give of anything we get. That's right. If we get so much in food, we're supposed to take out so much money and give them as to somebody giving us an offering. But anyway, as to their foolishness, that's them and their foolishness. God will deal with them in time to come. But the thing that I'm telling you is that this man, it didn't do him any good. But the other man that had done nothing, he had not fasted, he had not prayed, he had not paid his tithe. He had done nothing. He just said, Lord, have mercy on me, and thus he was saved. Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved, the children never having yet been born, having never yet done any good or evil, that it might stand by election, that God might get all the glory. Then it was said to be thus. So don't build your hopes on foolishness, but build your hope on things eternal. If you go out and fast or pray, that's wonderful. If you realize that you're nothing and that it don't bring you nothing, but that you're praying to your Father in secret that He might reward you openly, and that you're fasting in secret to wash your face that your Father might reward you openly, you're talking to God to find favor with God, is to be close to God, not in the sense of finding that as to righteousness, but in the sense of putting down the old body and getting the body out of the way, that the spirit which is holy and godly might bypass that body of death and might get in there and lock in with God, that the spirit may minister to you and through you in a great and a mighty way. And that's why I preach the sermons I do to you. I preach this to you to let you know that you're holy and godly and pure and don't have to go through all those ritualistic or the counting of the beads or whatever. That you may have great faith in God. And so you deny the old man outside and put him down and kick him out and lift up your faith through prayer while you starve him to death through fasting to keep the devil from interfering, and let your faith get in there without wavering, and it'll set there steady because you've got great faith. The faith of Jesus Christ is in your heart. And you sit in there steady, ask and don't waver, and it'll happen to you just like that. It'll happen to you. Say what you will, believe and don't doubt. That is, put the man on the outside down as to the body of the death to where he can't probe in and interfere like somebody probing into a line of light going on and off, see, or flipping a switch up and down. Get that out of the way, and it'll set there steady, and whatever you say will happen to you. You know, people misunderstand a lot of things. We were talking yesterday about the different things, and I know you're standing. We're going to close in just a few minutes. I was saying yesterday something was said about hunting. You know, and people say, well, why can't I hunt? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do those things? Somebody said, well, you got a hobby horse on hunting. No, I got a hobby horse that's called fishing too. Let's give the Lord another hand. Got all kind of hobby horses. All right, so people with a lot of hobby horses can ride the one they want to whenever they get ready. So I was saying something about hunting, and somebody said, well, I wish you wouldn't do that. You know my husband such and such, and you know I believe in such and such. We've got a number of them likes to hunt. It doesn't make any difference. You know, I'm preaching the gospel. If I preached it yesterday, I preach it again today, preach it again tomorrow. If you leave the church, that's your problem. Must give the Lord another hand. You know, all right. So then they say something about hunting, you know. Someone said, well, what do you feel about that, Brother Pike? Well, I'm just going to take a minute or two, one or two little things to clarify something in your mind. I feel this way, that when you get up in the morning and you feel like you want to go hunting, you got one kind of feeling, that is you want to pull that trigger and kill. You got that old let me go, pull that trigger and kill. Come on, folks. It don't matter how you measured out. That's what it is. Let me pull that trigger and kill. And that is kill God's property and destroy God's property and go out there and do those things when God said, I marked the fall of a sparrow. You're just as bad as the man at the ball game. In some ways worse, at least. He ain't killing somebody all the time. He just breaks somebody's neck once in a while. All right. Now, how then should we understand fishing and hunting in that the disciples fished? One way we should understand those things is that in fishing, Jesus said, if you love me more than these, then let's be about the Father's business. If you love these more than me, then go fishing and be a fisherman. And it's the same way with hunting. Same way with hunting. Somebody would say, you mean to tell me I can never go hunting? No, I don't mean to tell you that. You can do your thing. Everybody has to do their thing in life. But I am saying one thing. If you got up in the morning and you thought about a widow and an orphan, and you didn't have no money to go get them nothing to eat, and you thought that you could take a gun and go out and kill something for them and bring it to them, share it with them, or if you didn't have the money to buy and you was running short that week and didn't have work and went out to get some meat, that would be fine. But you can't excuse yourself by going out saying, well, I'll give it to somebody. That was the very thing that I made a statement that Brother Branham was going to get in trouble with those guns if he didn't get away from those guns, messing with them so much, which he got in trouble and almost got killed with it. And a whole generation just about of people followed and become hunters instead of people following the word. And all they could talk about was hunting. And like I said up here that night, is preaching at a Brother Branham place. They said, well, Brother Branham was a hunter. I can hunt too. I know, but Brother Branham was also killed at 56. He might have shortened his days by his disobedience. He might not have, but he could have. But nevertheless, I made the statement up there. I said, the thing is, it's not what somebody else has done. It's what God requires of you. And another thing is, you say, Brother Branham was a hunter. I said, so was Esau. And he didn't get his birthright. And so was Nimrod. The Nimrod, one of the little downest men that ever lived on the earth that married his own mother, was called the great hunter. So you can't go by that. Brother Branham had his place as to what he was doing when he was there, and God gave him that place. And whatever that was between him and the Lord. But you can't go by because somebody else was a fisherman. Somebody else was a hunter. Peter was a fisherman. But the Lord said to Peter, you need to leave that, Peter, and follow me. If you love me more than you love fishing. And what I say to one, he said, I say to all. So then it's the same way with fishing. Somebody said, well, I just, you know, fish when I take an ocean. I know you do, but it's just like hunting. You should go out there on the same principles that I just made mention of. Just made mention of. And folks, as to your businesses, it's the same thing with your businesses and with your jobs and with your desire. To have positions in this life and diplomacies of life, it's the same identical thing. If you're doing it for God and you're laboring that you might have to give and you're truthfully going out there for God, then you should go out there for God. But if you're not, you should quit your job, leave your employer, leave your position and follow Christ. And not even look back so much as to bury your dead father, the Bible said. Let the dead have their own funerals. That's how strict it is, and bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, and starved to death. God brought thousands of them out of Egypt, and they had no jobs and had no nothing, and they eat all the time, and they were kept fat and full, and their feet never did swell better than your doctors can do today, and their clothing never did wax old, and they never did have to worry about having to get a paycheck, and God took them right to where they're supposed to go. Let's give the Lord a hand. So Jesus said, you have little faith. That's your own human reasoning as to what you're going to do. To work, to make a living, to be honest, to do those things, that's fine as long as you're laboring for Christ. And as long as every thought is brought into subjection, as long as every deed is for the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as you're loving him with all of your strength as to your labor and all of your mind as to your thinking, and your neighbor as yourself, to share with them the same way. how you take care of your own self. All right, and we could go on and on talking about this good old way. The song said, let us go on talking about the truth. And the truth will make you free. Talking about the Lord. All right, when we think we know something, we don't know something as we ought to know, and that is what God has to say about it. Can we sing a chorus together? I love Him. I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing this chorus together. Give me another key, Frank. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace, my fears relieved. For how justly God's grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. Then when the battle is over, I shall wear a crown. For the battle is over, I shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear the crown. Paul said, when the battle is over, there is from henceforth and forever there is a crown laid up for me and all of them that do His will. Who? Jerusalem. Can you sing that with me? We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shiny crown. For when that battle is over, I will wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Let's give Him another hand, can we? So when the battle is over, we will wear a crown in the bright, bright new Jerusalem. Let's sing the chorus. The altars are open as we sing this chorus. So there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still barest room at the cross for you. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm on the day. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I say, I need thee, sweet Lord. I need thee, do you need Jesus every day? I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his pleading voice, and don't turn him away. Grow sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden, I can hear my Savior say, my love. Can you sing that with me? Do you really believe it? It does to me. Growing sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day. This love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Lord, He'll say, my love grows sweeter each day. Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question: where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of thy birth until it's time to die, God has given us choice to decide our destiny. In 1,000,000 years, where will you be? Sing it with me now. Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll through our eternity? I ask this question: where will you be? And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found thee with the lilies there blooming by the way. So I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Thank thee for every light life, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't all blessings are that be known thee to praise. So I thank thee for the valleys that I walk. Can you sing that chorus with me? I thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Can you give the Lord a hand? Job said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? Sometimes valleys can be so great. I heard my wife singing the song today that my daughter wrote, for in the valley you revive me and you bring me to life in the valley. So then it's in the valley sometimes that we feel we're chastened. And yet he's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. The songwriter said, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. But the Bible said, chastisement is grievous for the moment, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. And that's what makes it so good. Let's sing this little chorus. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes because it's hot. I know it's hot. But how many of you know that it was rough going to Calvary? All right, looks like we've got it easy, don't it? Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. It's in the valley that we praise Him. You know what, folks? I know it's hard, but it's when we are having our problems that we should give Him glory and praise Him and prove our faith. Believe Him and praise Him while we're in the valley and while we're going through our dark moments. This is the time that we ought to love Him and praise Him. And let Him know that we're His and that we've got faith and confidence in Him, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To praise Him while you're on the mountaintop, that's no more than the world does. You know, they get a new car and they shout and have a good time over it. Somebody hits a home run with their favorite team, they shout and have a good time over it. But folks, let me tell you, it's when you're in the valley that proves that you are a Christian, when you can praise Him. Give me Keith. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who my Jesus is. For He is the lily of your valley. And He's your bright and morning star. And He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For He is the lily of my valley, and He's my bright and morning star. And He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. One more time. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who my Jesus is. For he, can you sing that with me? The lily of the valley. And he's a bright morning star. And he's the fairest of 10,000. And everybody ought to know. Can we give him a hand? Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes and sing that little chorus together. I will praise him. And I will praise him. By will praise for sinners let us give him glory all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Once again now, so I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us I want you to sing it once again with me. And I'd like for Brother Raymond McCullough to come up and dismiss us tonight, if he will.
I will praise him.
Can you really praise him? Can you really praise him?
Lamb for sinners.
Let's give him a wave offering.
And I'll him glory all day. Oh, his blood has washed.
One more time together as our Brother Raymond comes. One more time together now.
And we will